This is the Troy Prep High School Media Club's interview series, and I'm Amanda Cabanillas, Media Club mentor. Today we're speaking to Thomas Kearney of the Capital Region's Release Aging People in Prison campaign, also known as RAP. Just a note for our listeners, there is a moment where Talise enters a question into the chat because of audio difficulties. So you won't hear the question asked, but you will hear the response. Additionally, this piece contains brief and unspecific mentions of violent crime.
I'm Thomas Kearney. I'm Capital Region Organizer for RAP, which stands for Release Aging People in Prison Campaign.
My first question is, why is RAP important to you?
RAP's mission is important. I'm a formerly incarcerated individual. I gave 17 of my 39 years on this planet to the state of New York in prison, and it's RAP's mission basically is to change the parole laws so that they are more release oriented. And we focus on the elder population that's in prison because the state did a study a few years ago that showed that by the year 2030, we believe that about 30% of the state's prisoners will be old or elderly. And my experience of those individuals when I was in prison is that those individuals are mentors. They are people's fathers, grandfathers, and after a person like reaches a certain age, they age out of crime. Not that they cannot commit crime any longer, but it's just no longer a part of who they are. Those elders that were in prison were mentors to me. I believe that they saved my life, and I think that they could do a good job in their communities enhancing public safety by acting as credible messengers for teens your age and maybe a little bit older to stop them from going down the same path that so many others are going. How did I get involved in RAP? I was doing volunteer work for another organization, Vocal New York. They also have a presence in Albany. I was doing volunteer work with them. It's Vocal stands for Voices of Community Activists and Leaders. And they organize around curing HIV/AIDS, LGBTQ plus issues, ending mass incarceration, and ending the racist war on drugs. The war on drugs and the mass incarceration issues were most important to me. And I rallied and organized with them. We did legislative drop-ins at the legislative building. And while I was organizing with them and rallying with them, the job with RAP came along. I interviewed, and I mean, much to my, but more like different than any other job that I interviewed for in the past, it was a requisite that I was a formerly incarcerated individual. It was a requisite that I had a criminal history in order to be able to do the job that I do in the most effective way. And I've been with them since September 2019, about a year and a half now, and they are my newfound family. Mujahid Farid, that's where RAP really came from. He served 33 years of a 15 to life sentence, and he realized that the parole system, it wasn't set up in a way that would allow it to respect people's individual personal transformations. By the time he went to his parole board at the 15-year period where he could see the parole board, he earned four college degrees. He created a program that DOC still uses today called the PACE program that educates prisoners and prison staff on HIV/AIDS issues. He was in prison during the height of the AIDS epidemic when everyone was scared, where the people thought that they could still get AIDS from shaking someone's hand. And I mean, the Department of Health then took that program and they made it into a certificate program to where, it's recognized by the Department of Health and the Department of Labor. This man in prison created this program and he went to the parole board with these accomplishments. And they only focused on the nature of his offense. And he believed that it wasn't fair. And I mean, I don't believe it's fair either. The nature of the crime will never, ever change, even as people do. And he repeatedly went to parole boards and they kept giving him two more years, come back in 2 more years. And the only reason that they were doing it is because of the nature of his offense. And I mean, of course, you can't have this conversation without having an honest conversation about interpersonal violence. I mean, he killed someone. And it's something that he regretted every day after it happened, including the time that he was in prison and the time that he was running, and the time that he founded RAP. But yeah, most of the people who are organizers for rap have experience. Like my Western New York organizer, Donna Robinson, her daughter is doing 15 to life. Our director now, Jose Saldana, was just released recently, and he went through the same thing Fareed did, off a 25 to life sentence. I think he served 38. Our New York City organizer served about 33 years in prison. We are all formerly incarcerated individuals who happen to be success stories in life, and this is what we'd like to present to the this is what we are presenting to the legislator with the two bills that we have before them, and this is how we convince the public that this is what's right.
How does interpersonal violence come up, and how it can be prevented?
Interpersonal violence comes up as a talking point when people, when we talk about releasing people even earlier than their actual sentences are, even before their sentences are up, a lot of the times individuals say, well, what about the victim? And that's the time where we have to have that conversation. There is violence in every community. Some of it's overt, some of it's covert. You can't always tell where things are, but in a situation where someone's incarcerated for a violent crime, people are less likely to have them released early. So we make it a point to not make excuses, accept the responsibility. I mean, we don't say, yeah, he killed him because, or yeah, this fight happened because this fight happened, and it happens everywhere. It's the discussions around interpersonal violence are basically centered around accepting responsibility. That's what's more important. Overt versus covert violence, it basically depends on where it's happening at. And this is one of the things that we are attacking or pushing back against when it comes to the police reinvention collaborations that are happening in every town. Most Black and Brown communities are over-policed. There are cops everywhere. They know where to be because they know where things are happening. Now, if other communities were policed just as much, the violence there wouldn't be as, it's treated differently. Like in domestic violence situations, if they show up on Clinton and Judd, somebody's going to jail. If they show up on, Jefferson and Third, someone's going to jail. But if they show up way, way uptown in nicer areas of Troy, there's a good chance that a different conversation is going to be had. There's a good chance that police officers who show up are going to talk to people, maybe separate individuals, and tell them that they don't want to see them again that night. Policing in communities is handled differently, and so we find this, and that's where we find this disparity when it comes to convictions, conviction rates, and, you know, within the Black and Brown community as opposed to, I mean, in juxtaposition to what our population numbers are.
How is, like, rap, like important to, like, the society and stuff?
I believe it's important because I believe that releasing elders, the elder population, back into the community would enhance public safety. There's a lot, one, because people who are of that age, even by the state's own numbers, are least likely to recidivate. They can provide, they can, you know, be assets to the community instead of, you know, being just someone that the community has to support while they're in prison. I believe that they have a great opportunity to talk to young men and women who are on their path and keep them off of it, acting as credible messengers. I think that's important. If you, I mean, think about what's happening in Troy, Albany, kids, it's horrible. It's horrible. And I think this is, I mean, we can't solve that with just this one initiative and changing the parole process. But I think with all the organizations and the different changes that are being made, we will make great strides if some of the changes are made all, maybe not at the same time, but over time implemented. I believe that we could see extraordinary changes in our community.
What are the next steps for RAP?
Immediately, what we are doing is holding a clemency rally to ask that the governor not just grant clemency during this time of year, but to make clemency more of a normal thing to do. I honestly believe that every day of the year, the governor could wake up, sign his pen to someone's clemency paperwork, and let them go without harming public safety. It's just an idea that redemption is possible, and that at some point punishment has to end in order to allow for it.
And I just want to say thank you for coming. Thank you for talking with us.
Anytime. Thank you all for having me. I appreciate it. This is definitely the most calm and peaceful part of my day. Yes, I appreciate it.
Yeah.